Good morning. It's an honor to be here today. And before I begin scripture, I'd like to just take a personal privilege first and thank Fellowship Baptist Church for all the prayers and for all of the support that you've given our family in the last, always, but in the last couple of years especially. Thank you from the bottom of our hearts. Thank you to your pastors. That's always pointed me back to the Lord during this time. So, sorry, wasn't going to get emotional, but that's just part of it. So, thank you for the prayers, and I just want to publicly tell you that. So, thank you so much. I want to start with a story. There's two reasons why I want to do this story. One is I know about the love that your pastor has for animals. And it goes well with the title of the message today. It's called A Lot Can Happen in 1 Week. Several years ago, over 30 years ago now, there was a, let's scan this room here. I don't think there's a few people in this room that'll know who these people are, but there were some people who were always asking me to watch their house. They were going on a trip. They asked me multiple times, and I always had a reason to get out of it. I didn't want to do it. So one year they came to me and they said, we're going to go on vacation. We want you to watch our house. Can you do it? And I used these words that I learned not to use in the future. I said, if you can't find anybody else, I'll do it. Well, guess what? I don't know that they looked for anybody else. And so the day came where the tour of the house came up. They wanted me to stay there. I just wasn't comfortable staying in somebody else's house. I just didn't want to do it. So they had chickens, which I had no experience with, and I do now. And they had cattle, and they had a bird in the house. So they took me out to the house. They walked me through. He gave me the tour, and he said, the chickens, you feed them once a day, throw the stuff out. And when we walked through the house, there was a room to the right. There was a cage, and what I heard him say, and there's a game that my kids play with me now of what Dad actually thought he heard and what they said, because my hearing's not that great anymore. But I thought he said the bird will take care of itself, just cover it over at night. It likes to be in the darkness. So I stayed at home with where we lived. I went out every morning. I fed the chickens. I checked on the bird. I walked around. I went home. I did my thing. I went back that night, checked it. It went great. Here comes Sunday morning, church. I'm in the back of the church, and a gentleman comes up that's a neighbor, and he says, are you watching so-and-so's house this week? And I said, yeah. He said, well, on the way to church, their cows were out this morning. And that doesn't mean a whole lot, but to farmers it does, but here's where it got interesting. It rained for like 3 days prior to that, and when I say rained, I mean like we just had recently. It rained a lot. So cattle in a yard, when it's soft, make a lot of big holes. And cattle, I guess when they get out, I didn't know this, they like to come up if there's a window and they want to see what's going on. So there was holes all over these people's yard where the cows got out. So I went out after church. Everything was fine, other than the cows. And I thought, well, I'll go home, go back one more time. They were coming home that night. So as I went through the house and checked everything, I walked past the door and I stopped. When I looked in, the bird was like this. I killed their bird. I didn't feed that bird for a week. And apparently you have to feed a bird over a week's time or it doesn't do well. And so the point is that a lot can happen in a week, and a lot happened for that bird in a week, apparently. This being Palm Sunday, when Tommy asked me to speak and Dave, I said, is there anything you want me to cover? And he said, it's Palm Sunday, I don't know that I'll, do anything for Palm Sunday if I was there, but it's Palm Sunday. So I want to talk about Palm Sunday and the week of our Lord. And this is a day that we celebrate the triumphal entry of Jesus into Jerusalem 1 week before his resurrection. A lot happens in this week in the scripture today. We're going to be going around a few places in the scripture. I don't normally do that. But I'm going to start with Matthew 21 as the text. Matthew 21, verse 1 through 11. Now when they drew near to Jerusalem and came to Bethage, to the Mount of Olives. Then Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, go into the village in front of you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. And if anyone says anything to you, you shall say, the Lord needs them. And he will send them at once. This took place to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet, saying, say to the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a beast of burden. The disciples went and did as Jesus had directed them. They brought the donkey and the colt, and they put them on their cloaks and set him on them. Most of the crowd spread their cloaks on the road, and others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. And the crowds that went before him and that followed him were shouting, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And when he entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred up, saying, who is this? And the crowd said, this is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth of Galilee. So Palm Sunday starts, and it marks the beginning of the week called the Passion Week, of the seven final days of Jesus' earthly ministry. It began with Jesus and his disciples traveling over the Mount of Olives, and the Lord sent his two disciples ahead of him to the village of Bethage to find the animal to ride. What I want to point out is they found the unbroken colt of a donkey, just as Jesus had said. But the word immediately, when they found, they went, and the word pops in there that you, and immediately you will find a donkey. And that's the way it is with the Lord. He has a plan. And the owners began to question them, and the disciples responded with them that the Lord needs it. So in Luke 19, verses 31 through 34, it points us to that story. So if anyone asks you, why are you untying it? You shall say, the Lord has need of it. So those who were sent went away and went to just as they had been told. And as they were untying the colt, the owner said to them, why are you untying the colt? And they said, the Lord needs it. It's amazing to me that the owner asked that question. I mean, if it was your colt, what would you say? What would you have said at that point? Would you have just said, go ahead? Or would you have said, why are you taking my colt? Why are you untying my colt? It's an interesting question to think about. They brought the donkey to Jesus. They threw the cloaks on the colt, and they put Jesus on it. And when he ascended to Jerusalem, a large group of people were there, and they were gathered around him, and the crowd understood Jesus was the Messiah. He understood it that week, but they didn't understand that it wasn't time for him to set his kingdom up yet. And that was told in Luke 19. The crowd's reaction along the road gives us the name Palm Sunday. That's where it comes from. The very large crowd spread the cloaks on the road. Others cut branches of trees, and they spread them on the road, kind of what we would call a red carpet treatment today. So as we read earlier, the crowd went ahead of him, and the ones that followed shouted, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest heaven. There's prophecy in Psalms about this. If you'll turn to Psalms 118 or make a note for later, but it's in 118 verses 25 through 26 where it says, save us, we pray, O Lord. O Lord, we pray, give us success. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. We bless you from the house of the Lord. And then in Zechariah 9:9 that you're familiar with, this was an acknowledged prophecy of Christ some 450 to 500 years earlier. Of Jesus' arrival, the prophet Zechariah had prophesied the event now called Palm Sunday. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O Lord, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. Righteous and having salvation is he. Humbled and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. The crowd was looking for a Messiah to rescue them politically and to free them nationally, but Jesus had come to save them spiritually. Contrary to today's thought that we have, that was back then as well, Our primary need is spiritual. It's not political. It's not national. Our focus should be spiritual and on the Lord. While they were waving the branches and yelling Hosanna, the crowd missed the true reason for Jesus' presence. They could not see or understand the cross. His own disciples that were with him had heard many times what were going to happen. And this is why Jesus wept when he approached the city. In Luke 19, verses 41 through 44. When they drew near and saw the city, he wept over it, saying, "Would that you, even you, had known of this day the things that make for peace, but now they are hidden from your eyes. For the days will come upon you when your enemies will set up a barricade around you and surround you and hem you in on every side and tear you down to the ground, you and your children within you. And they will not leave one stone upon another to you because you did not know the time of your visitation." It's tragic to see the Savior right there and not recognize him. From the beginning of time, God had a plan. He had a plan for that day. He's had a plan for your life. Jeremiah chapter 1 speaks of that he knew him before he formed him in his womb. He has a plan for everything. And what's the saying? You want to make God laugh, but tell him your plan, right? He has a plan for you. He has a plan for the week. He has a plan for your family. He has a plan for your redemption. He has a plan for everything. He did it, and he knew it before he formed you. There's one person who is among many demons with him, but the devil likes to disrupt those plans. I often think of Job. If you want to turn to Job, verse 1, I'm just going to hit some high points. Chapter 1, I'm sorry, verse 6. What amazes me about the story of Job is that Job wasn't bothering anybody. He was just walking around, living his life. And here's the scripture. "Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came among them." Did you catch that? "The Lord said to Satan, 'From wherever you come,'" and Satan says to the Lord, "I've been going to and fro around the earth. Basically, I'm causing trouble. I'm going around doing whatever I can do to cause trouble." And the Lord said to Satan, "The Lord said to Satan, 'Have you considered my servant Job?'" Job wasn't bothering anybody. Job was living his life. He was doing what he needed to do. And the Lord said, "Have you considered my servant Job?" His day, not his week, his second change. Because when you give the devil access, he's going to wipe out everything he can do, as much as he can do. And that's what happened to Job in a second when they said that. Not just a week. The Satan gets involved. He's like that. It's just going. I get an email in my inbox every Monday morning. Every Monday morning I get this email. It's from a company. It's titled, "What happened last week?" And there's been days in our lives when I'm like, what happened last week? What exactly? What happened today when you get home and you sit down, you're getting ready to eat supper and you're like, what happened? What happened in this day? You ever have those days? You ever have those weeks? I do. How about just a day? You guys have been in Jude. I tune in and listen to Tommy and Dave and whoever's preaching sometimes on Sunday afternoon. And we've been in Jonah the last few weeks. And it's a great story that you learn early in life. But he jumps in because he's running. A storm comes up. They take Jonah, throw him in, and a great fish comes and picks him up. And he's in his belly for 3 days and three nights. And this is right before lunch, but Scripture says the great fish vomited him back up on dry land. In the final chapter is what I want you to go to. I want you to catch this. Jonah 4. Chapter 4, we're going to start in verse 4. And read for a little bit. I apologize for the Bible drill today, but I think this will tie in well. Jonah 4, verse 4. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was angry. And he prayed to the Lord and said, O Lord, is not this what I said when I was yet in my country? That is why I made haste to flee to Tarshish, for I knew that you were a gracious God, a merciful and slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and relenting from disaster. Therefore now, O Lord, please take my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. And the Lord said, do you do well to be angry? Jonah went out to the city, and he set to the east of the city and made a booth for himself there, and he sat in the shade till he should see what would come of the city. Now the Lord God appointed a plant, made it come up over Jonah, that it might be a shade over his head to save him from the discomfort. So Jonah was exceedingly glad because of the plant. And when dawn came upon the next day, God appointed a worm that attacked the plant so that it was withered. When the sun rose, God appointed a scorching east wind, and the sun beat down on the head of Jonah so that he was faint. And he asked that he might die and said, it is better for me to die than to live. But God said to Jonah, do you do well to be angry for the plant? And he said, yes, I do well to be angry and angry enough to die. And the Lord said, you pity the plant for which you do not labor, nor do you make it grow, which came into being in a night. Remember, a day? And perished in a night. And should not I pity Nineveh, the great city, in which there were more than 120,000 persons, that you do not know the right friend from the left, and also much cattle? Here's what's interesting. Jonah was displeased and exceedingly angry. And then he prayed to God. Anybody ever done that besides me? Just recently, we were outside church. We got a thing for Chez that she needs just right now to help her just get in and out of the truck. And just temporary, and then we'll get it back to the way it was. But we got it set in there. The guy put it in. We go to church, right outside the door. It turns, and it puts her on the ground, and it works out really well. It started turning. We just got it installed, worked well. Started turning, and she started crying, and I was pushing the button, kept pushing the button. And I was like, what's wrong, sweetie? She'd been strapped in. I forgot to unstrap her. But in my mind, I was immediately thinking, Alan, what did you do to this seat? The guy that put it in. I was exceedingly angry that quick. Anybody else that honest? Right outside the door of the church. And then when I realized it was Dad, silly Dad, I wasn't exceedingly glad because I just about tore my daughter in half trying to get the seat out. But I was exceedingly glad when I went in the church in his presence. In the very same day. Jonah was like that. He was exceedingly angry. Then he prayed. We should pray first. I didn't pray. I was mad. I just wanted to get that guy on the phone on Sunday afternoon and chew him out about why this seat messed up. It was me that messed it up. And then he was exceedingly angry. Then he goes out and builds a box so he can sit in the shade and put his hands back. And the Lord provides a tree for him to sit in the shade. And he's exceedingly happy. Everything's great. Along comes a worm. God appointed it. Dead. And he's sitting in the heat in the desert. Anybody been to the desert and pick up a quarter that's been on the ground for a while? It's hot. My sister lives out there. And she says, and my brother, but she has a great line where they say it's a dry heat in the desert. She says, turn your stove on 300, stick your head in there. That's a dry heat too. So to give you some perspective on what a desert feels like. That's what Jonah was sitting in. And he was exceedingly angry after that. That was in a day's time. Job was in seconds when it changed. A lot can happen in a week. The same people that were shouting, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest. The same people were yelling, crucify him by Friday. 5 days later, not even a week. Crucify him is what they were yelling. We would have been yelling it. Some application for you in the week. A lot can happen in a week, just like that poor bird that I was responsible for. For Job. We all come in contact with people and situations every day of our lives that we are exceedingly angry, and when we are exceedingly happy, and then we're exceedingly angry. You know what it's called? Human. We're humans. We're flesh. I'm a lot of flesh. I'm a big boy. And I have a lot of emotions that go through me on a daily basis. Start the day with the Lord. Start it in prayer before you get immediately angry at Jonah's example there. My goal is to just let you know that things happen, and sometimes they get into your emotions, and they are designed, and they by God, like in Job's spot, if you consider my servant, Job. Here's the good news. We serve a God who's the same yesterday and today and forever. He's a forgiving God. He is a healing God. He's a loving God. He's the Alpha and Omega. He made the sun stand still for Joshua. And it doesn't go on. If the sun stood still, I'd be so excited and tell a story about that. I'd be exceedingly happy. It just says he stopped the sun and Joshua went on. That's our Lord. What's big to us doesn't mean anything to him. He's the Lord. He is the one that came and sent his son to die on the cross for us in this coming week. And he's the one that rose from the grave. Tony Campolo, in closing here, is I heard this in the early 90s. And he's a white man that's a pastor in an all-black church. If anybody's ever heard of Tony Campolo, how many people have heard of Tony? Anybody? Well, he's gone on to the Lord. Later in his career, if you just Google him, he would have done some things that I would have completely disagreed with as far as his time in ministry. But in the 90s, in the early 90s, he was in this all-black church as an associate pastor. And I'm going to let the clip speak for itself, not set this up. But they have what they call, every year in a black church, they have what's called a preach-off. And they let the pastors just go at it. And it's kind of like, because it's just like throwing gas, on a fire when they do that. And Tony would get up and preach first, and then he sits down by the senior pastor when it's over. And it's pretty interesting. In closing, I'd just like you to see that short 3-minute video.
Once a year in my church, we have a preach-off. White folks don't know what they are. You get about 5-6 preachers and you preach back to back to see who's best. You never say that, right? You never say it. You say it's for the glory of God. And it was my turn, and I don't want to brag people, but I was good. I mean, I started preaching, the deacon started yelling, preach, and the women were yelling, well, and the men were yelling, keep going, and I feed on that stuff. I kept getting better and better and better. I feed on that stuff. When I sat down, my pastor hit my knee. He said, you did all right? You did all right. I said, you're next, pastor. You going to be able to top that? He laughed. He said, son, sit back. Because the old man is going to do you in. I didn't think he could pull it off. He got up, and for the next half hour, that sucker did me in. I couldn't believe it. He did it in with one line over and over again. It's Friday, but Sunday's coming. It didn't sound like much when he started. You guys often start so slow and low gear. It takes you about 5 minutes to get into high gear. Friday, he said, Jesus was dead on the cross. But that's because it was Friday. Sunday's coming. Somebody yelled, keep going, keep going. That's all he needed. He took off. Friday, Friday people are saying, as things have been, so they shall be. You can't change things in this world, but I'm here to give you the good news. It's only Friday. Sunday's coming. Yeah, you're getting into it. We got to de-hunkitize the rest of this group. Friday, they're saying a bunch of old people meeting in the church on a Saturday morning cannot alter things in their communities and in their state and in their world. But here gives the good news. It's only Friday. Sunday's coming. Now, let's get into it, people. Let's hang loose. I'll give you one more shot. It's Friday. And they're saying a bunch of Baptists who are limping into a meeting cannot go out energized, ready to invade their communities with the good news of the gospel and the power of the Holy Spirit. But I'm here to tell you, it's only Friday. Sunday's coming. He went on like that for an hour. When he finished, I was exhausted. He ended that sermon yelling at the top of his lungs, Friday! Without hesitation, that whole congregation yelled back, Sunday's coming! That's the good news, people. Are we ready to leave this assembly and go back to our churches and mobilize our people to invade the community? And are we as individuals ready to say, my primary citizenship is in the kingdom and I'm going to live according to the values and the lifestyle prescribed by Jesus. I'm going to reject Babylon. I will not be conformed to this world. I'm going to be transformed by the Holy Spirit to live out the will of God in this day and in this age and in this time. And are you ready? That was rather weak. Let me try that again. Are you ready? Yes. The good news is then, it's only Friday, but...
One of my devotions this week, I'll end with this. Jesus. J-E-S-U-S. 5 letters, 6 hours, and 1 cross. 3 nails. We live because of Jesus. We live because he lives. Hope because he works. And matter because he matters. To be saved by grace is to be saved by Jesus. Not an idea of a doctrine, a creed, church membership, but by Jesus. Our Redeemer himself, who will sweep into heaven anyone who just admits, believes, and confesses and repents. Timid Jesus, not on your life. The real Jesus claims every tick on the clock. Timid Jesus winks at sin, but the real Jesus nukes it. Timid Jesus is Lucky Charm crucifix on a necklace. My Jesus is a roaring lion. This week, this holy week of coming up to Easter, I just pray that you will spend some time in the Word, knowing that things change in a minute, but putting your trust, praying first, and spending some time with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Will you pray with me? Heavenly Father, thank you, first off, for removing me today, and Lord, just giving me the words, hiding me behind your cross. Thank you, Lord, for forgiveness. I thank you for, Lord, just having your hand on every situation here that you know about that I don't know, and you know the outcome and I don't know. And we trust you. We ask for opportunities this week, Lord, to be encouragers to people, to witness for you, Lord, and to just always glorify your name. Go with us through this time of invitation, Lord, and reflection. In Jesus' name I pray. Thank you.